Cool. My battery's running low. Right, see if it makes it. Otherwise, we have our backup. Okay. Yeah, I said I wanted to finish this siman today. I'm not sure. We'll have to see if we're going to be able to finish, because there are some important relevant points. So maybe it may be Sunday. Let's see how far we get. So two things that we really need to cover. One is the inyan of B'dikas Charon Nistakin, and the other is the 5 days leading up to the Yeshiva Nekiyin, essentially the din of Paletas Shechva Zera. So we'll start with B'dikas Charon Nistakin, and then we'll go from there. So the relevant Sif in Shulchan Aruch is Sif Vav of Yeren Simkov Sadi Vav. The Gemara on Daf Hey Maseches Nida tells us that they wouldn't rely on bedikos before tashmish, meaning if a bedika was done before tashmish, they would have to do bedika after tashmish as well. The Mishnah says they have to do bedikos after tashmish as well, as we've discussed in the past, because bedika before tashmish couldn't be relied on for taharos purposes. Why? Because she's muhuma lebesa. A woman is going to be so rushed, she's going to be interested in, meaning right before tashmish, she's interested in having tashmish with her husband, and therefore she may not do a proper bedika. It may be too rushed. So it's not going to be essentially a proper bedika b'charos uvistakin. I mean, it's not going to be a thorough bedika. That's as far as taharos applies. What about as far as baila, as far as heter lebaila? So this, we have three shitos in Rishonim, three basic shitos in Rishonim. The Ravid in Bali HaNefesh, Shara Sfira Gimel, tells us that all bedikos lebaila are a lower standard than a bedika letaros, and therefore this whole din of Charon Nistakin is only the letaros. Lebaila, you don't really need that. Lebaila, you could just do, you know, a very basic kind of bedika. Charon Nistakin is not going to be so critical. However, the Ramban in Hilchas Nida, Perek Tes, Halacha Chav Beis, writes that a Hafsik Tara has to be a B'dikah B'charon Nistakin. But the B'dikahs of the Shemini Kiyam are not a series. Remember, Hafsik Tara might be Doraisa, Shitz Rambam, but the other, and Hafsik Tara has to, you know, sort of set the tone and establishes that she's no longer being Ravadam, so that needs to be B'charon Nistakin. All the other B'dikahs maybe don't need to be B'charon Nistakin. Then you have Shitz HaRashba. The Rashba, Dafei Amin Aleph, from Maseches Nida, and in the Torah Sabayis Aruch, writes that how could you possibly say that a bedika, any bedika, doesn't have to be b'charon nistakin? Meaning, there are two different words. There's a word bedika, and there's a word kinuach. Kinuach means something external. Bedika means you're really being bodek. You're really doing something more thorough. So bedika means charon nistakin. The Mishnah requires bedikos for hafsek tara and shivin akim, not just kinuach. So all bedikos need to be the charon nistakin. So that's a fundamental three of machlok rishonim. Either nothing needs to be b'charon nistakin b'zmaneinu when everything is labayla, or on the other extreme, the Rashba, everything, or the Ramban, only the hafsek tara and not the other bedikos. This discussion relates to not only how to do the bedika, but what kind of cloth can be used for the bedika as well. You get the shayla off. You just got the shayla last week. Someone texted me from the plane. It was a couple of weeks ago. They texted me from the airplane. We're on a plane coming back from vacation. We're going to land after Shkia. My wife has to have Siktara. She doesn't have any bedika cloths. What can she use? Right? So the shayla is, what's her shayla? What does she want to use? So she figures whatever tissues they have in the bathroom in the plane, she wants to use a tissue for a hafsek tara. So are you allowed to use a tissue for a hafsek tara? Meaning this bedika charon nistakin requires something that's going to be able to withstand charon nistakin. It's going to be able to withstand doing a thorough bedika. A tissue is going to fall apart. So if you need charon nistakin, then no way you could use a tissue because it's going to fall apart. If you don't need charon nistakin, all you need is a kinuach, so a tissue does a very good job of kinuach. One would argue that's what it was created for, right? That's the purpose of tissues, is only for kinuach. It also relates to how deep one has to penetrate with the bedika. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, so Shulchan Aruch writes in Sivav, kol bedikos seilu, bein bedikos hafsek tara, bein bedikos kol shiva, tzrich lios, bebeged pishton lavan yashin, obetzemer gefen, obetzemer lavan naki, verach, V'tachnisenu ba'oso makom ba'omek ulechorim ulestakom ad makom shashamash dash. She has to go as far as the Ever HaZachrus would go during Tashmish. V'tira im yesh bo shum mara admumis. And then look, see if there's any redness on it. Not just put in a little bit to clean off.
Okay, but if she can't do that
for every bedika, hefsek tara and day one, that for sure. Says the Rama, if no one came to bedikas yom rishon, tasa pamachas came to bedikas shari yamin. So says Rama, you know, not every woman can reach that far in when they're doing the bedikah. Certainly, when they're newly married or whatever, when it's younger, before they have children, it's much more difficult to do bedikahs like that. So, but still, says Rama, at least chorin of stakin. So how deep they have to reach also relates to this. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch and Sivav is machmir at least as far as hefsek tara and yom rishon. The Rama is a little more makel to do her best. You know, not necessarily to, but do the best that she can. And really, I mean, what else can she do other than do her best? I mean, there's not really another option. Another consideration is whether you can lubricate the cloth, because now you're already compromising something, right? Meaning, if you hold that, it doesn't count unless it's ad makom shashamish dash. Unless it's all the way, it penetrates all the way, and in these people chorin stuck, but a woman can't do it. She's not going to be able to physically go out and makom shasham unless she puts a lubricant on it. She puts some gel on it, some KY gel or something like that on the bedika cloth. So that maybe that's what you got to do. But you should realize that comes at a cost, because if you're lubricating the cloth with anything, really anything other than water, then the chances are that dam is not going to stick to it as well. So the bedika is, by definition, a less effective bedika. So I think our post can say that if she's having trouble, she should try to just wet it a little bit, make it a little bit damp, but not to actually lubricate it with like a gel, because if you lubricate it with a gel, then you're really losing more than you're gaining. Meaning, since the Rama holds anyway, you don't need to get on makom shashamash dash, you don't have to get that far anyway, so to lubricate just so you can get further in at the cost of being able to actually catch dam, to being able to have dam stick to the cloth, so that doesn't seem worth it. Rav Sabalovsky points out that the hefsek might not be d'oraisa, right? We have machlokes rishonim, and the Sidrei Tara clearly holds that the makom shashamash dash and maybe even chorin nistakin, there's no way that could be d'oraisa. Why? Because what Sidrei Tara's raya is because a basula can't do it without ruining her basulin. So if a basula can't do it without ruining her basulin, then we know that a basula has to be able to become tahora, so she's got to be able to do bedika. So you see, it must not be d'oraisa. Chazanish in Yaradeya Simin Sadi Beis says that midoraisi even wiping externally many, many times, you know, just to make sure that no blood is coming out would suffice, that if she's confident enough that there's no blood that's coming out. So you have these as snifim lahakel, which sometimes are necessary when a woman does a bedika, if she's unable to really do a bedika scharen ustakin, if she's not able to really do a proper bedika scharen ustakin. I had a shaila. A woman called up. I don't remember all the details, but I remember essentially the shaila was that the woman had forgotten to do a hefsek tara, but she did a moch with a tampon, which is unusual. Normally, you have the other way, right? A woman will forget to... No, sorry, not with a tampon. With a bedika cloth. She took a bedika cloth, stuck it in, and just did a moch. But she didn't move it around, b'charon of a stakin, to do a proper bedika scharon of a stakin. So she wanted to know, can that count as a hefsek tara? Now, it's a week later, she wants to go to the mikvah. Right, so she didn't like ask right away. So she wants to know, can she count on this? Can she use that? So I'm trying to remember who asked the shayla. I remember who asked the shayla. One of the Kolel young guys here, who's a chassan teacher, said that one of his chassanim asked the shayla. So he couldn't get a hold of Rabbi Sabalovsky. so or I guess anybody else. So he called me, and I thought that there's room to be makel over here. You know, it's a young couple. They don't really, you know, they're not so experienced yet. In general, young couples are going to be a little more makel than we will someone who's been married for whatever for a number of years already. And Bedikas Charon Stuckin may not be an absolute requirement. It was a Bedika cloth, it wasn't a tampon. So my svara was that it moves around a lot more, that a tampon is much more solid. So I sort of by force says the opposite, that a tampon fills the muckle. So it's much more likely to be Charon Stuckin because it's harder so and it's bigger, so it fills the muckle. Whereas the bedikah cloth is smaller and more pliable and therefore doesn't really fill the makom. It is not charon mustakin. So I thought there was room to be mekel. The fellow told me the next day that he found Rabbi Sablavsky, I think Rabbi Willig also maybe, and they both told him, no way. Absolutely not. There's nobody who's current stuff. They said maybe if it was a tampon, we would have been making. Meaning they said like Rabbi Forrest. So now I felt like an idiot because you know I was obviously wrong, right? And then a week later, he told me he asked Rav Shechter, and Rav Shechter thought like me. So okay, Hashem. So I'm no longer an idiot for that reason. You know, so Rav Shechter liked the svara that my svara was that if you just stick it in and leave it there and don't move it around, say nachinami, a bedikah cloth is not good enough. But she left it in for 45 minutes, meaning she left it in and she's walking around and moving. So I thought that alone will get to all the charon is stuck, and just the fact that she's moving around will move the cloth around to all the charon is stuck. And Rav Shechter liked that svara, so that's what he helped. Yeah.
The entire device is also a b'diavad.
The b'diavad what?
If you use a moch, you can use cat as the first.
A moch without a.
Without a bedik on the first day.
Oh no, but I'm talking about without a hefsik. Without a bedik on the first day, we discussed yesterday. But without a hefsek tara, and a hefsek tara, there's a higher level of sensitivity than even a bedikas yom rishon.
2 years ago, he quoted Rav Moshe saying that if she doesn't do a bedika beforehand, then she has a problem because she's not even sure once night comes that her first day of sefira has started.
Right. If you're choshesh for the meal tzedakah, so then you have that problem. Right.
So are we not choshesh for the meal tzedakah?
Yeah, I mean, that's a... First of all, it's assuming the meal tzedakah is correct, which a lot of the achronim do not. And second of all, it's assuming that extension of the meal tzedakah. She didn't mamash have a hezchadas, she just wasn't sure. A lot of times women aren't sure if their sphere is continuing. They see a stain, they're not sure, they can ask a shayla. So I didn't think that that was... that we need to be machmir for that.
In that case, if she wasn't moving around the entire time, if she just sat on the couch during Ganesh Bashos, would there be less room?
I guess you wouldn't have that svara. Yeah, I guess there'd be less room if she wasn't moving at all. Yeah, but most women don't sit still. You know, they're moving.
The moch is like uncomfortable.
So because of that, she's sitting still. So she'll just read a book or something. I hear. Okay.
Well, why is that not the case where Hasakar is done at night?
No, she stuck it in before. Oh, meaning, yeah, okay. She stuck it in a few minutes before Shkia in the Chinami. By the time it got to all the Charon is stuck in, it was Ben Hashmashas.
I'm saying the Bedika happened after, I don't know.
Yeah, the Bedika started during the daytime. I don't know. I still thought we could be Mekel. Yeah, I hear. I know. I thought of that. That point I didn't think of.
Would Rebbe stand by that position if Rebbe were asked that again, or would Rebbe defer to
Oh, Shechter is pretty big. Generally speaking, if I learn a sugya and I think like a certain approach, and then I find one of my rebbeim says that way, you know, so even though they don't all say that way, so I'll go with the one. If I just mamash have no clue and I don't have the mahalich and I don't have a thought on the matter, and my rebbeim disagrees, so then it's a little bit more difficult. But if I have a thought on the matter, if they're all against me, then I'm obviously wrong. Then you got it. Can't be such a fool to think that you know better than you know Gedolei HaPoskim, but you know Shechter pretty big, so I felt pretty comfortable about that. So where does that leave us? Okay, so that's as far as Bedikas Charon is stuck in. You know, Beis Yosef over here quotes the by the way, Pischi Chuvin Sivkat and Tess just says, right? Pischi Chuvin Sivkat and Tess says even just the Hefsek Tara, right? He says, he's quoting someone, Nirlo Lahaka Lusma Chalaramban. The rest of even Yom Rishon Bedika could be a Bedika Kala, doesn't necessarily have to be Bechorin of the Stakin. Let's skip that piece because I do want to get moving here. So let's discuss examining the Bedika by sunlight. So the Mishnah Mesechus Nida on Daf Tezayin Amar Aleph. The Mishnah Nida Tezayin Amar Aleph tells us she could use two bedika cloths for the whole night, meaning no matter how many times they have tashmish amita, even if a couple has tashmish amita multiple times, two bedika cloths is good for the whole thing. So the Gemara comments tashma. There are three things that Beis Munvas HaMelech used to do that they used to be mashbiach, that they used to praise them for. So Katani Mia Mishamshim Mitosein Biyom. So Gemara said, "What? You Mishamshim Mitosein Biyom? That's Maskirin Osel Shvach. You're going to praise them for being Mishamish Mito Biyom? That's not appropriate. Same a Bodkin Mitosein Biyom. They wouldn't rely on an Araner to be Bodik the Bedika cloths to look at the Bedika cloths that they used at the Tashmish Mito. Tashmish Mito was night. Tashmish Mito was not during the day. But the looking, the examining of the Bedika cloth." That was done during the day. So that's what the Gemara says. So the Rashba in Taras Habayis HaKatzer, Zayin Hay, says that based on that, it's best to check the Bedika cloth by the light of the day. And the Beis Yosef just points out that neither the Rambam nor the Tor mention that requirement. Why wouldn't they mention that requirement? Because this was a Hanhaga, the Gemara says in Beis Munvas Melech, that Maskirnos on the Shvach. But it doesn't say that it's a chiyuv. So that, since there's no chiyuv to be bodik and bedik during the day, so mela, the Rambam and the Torah leave it out. So that's what the Beis Yosef points out. So where does this come up over here? The Ramah in Siv Dalit. V'abdika tia la'or hayom v'lo la'or haner u'bdiyavin mahani afilu or haner. That the bedika should be la'or hayom, not la'or haner, b'dyavin it works, even la'or haner. Rav Vosner in Os Yud Beis discusses whether the Ramah means that the Bedika itself is done La'ara Yom V'lo La'ara Ner, or the looking at the Bedika cloth. Meaning either he just means that you're checking the cloth at night and the Bedika was done at day, or he holds like Chassam Sofer, that the Iker Bedika is Sima Slav, that there's no Dam and there was no Hargasha. And therefore, a nighttime Bedika, Bedieved, can be relied upon as long as she also, you know, was focused that she wasn't bleeding during the day. So you can rely on the possibility that a Sfiras Laila counts in combination with the possibility that she had a Sfiras Yom. That it was because a Sfira may only be just to be focused on it. So Vadei Ashulchan wasn't sure what the Ramah meant by that. I thought that the Pashtus is that Habadika Tiyala Arayom means looking at the cloth over here. I understand why he doesn't want to say that way, but what bothers him about that, what bothers him is he calls it Habadika. You know, that's a very vague terminology to use if you're describing looking at the cloth. We in Hilchas Nida, we always use the term Habadika as the insertion of the cloth. The Badei HaShulchan, Sivkan Peidal, quotes a Pardes Rimonim that an expert may be able to use Or Haner. Meaning, the idea that you're not supposed to look at a Bedika cloth, Or Haner, is chumra for the woman herself. But someone who has a good chush for what's dam and what's not dam, what's a problem, what's not a problem, he can look at the Or Haner. And the Shevet HaLevi writes that it was she'elos regilos. He says, when it comes to like regular shaylos, run-of-the-mill shaylos, kisharoim she'ein shum she'ela. Most of the time, when you get a shayla, you see that it's not really a shayla. That there's not really much. There's not much to talk about. V'nikar gam b'layla, and you could see that at night. You don't need to wait till daytime to see that there's no dam there. Efshur liros gam la'araner. Av b'safik yesh l'vdok la'arayom. It's only when you have a real shaila, when you have something that you're masubtik about. So I think we already discussed this, right? So just it comes up again over here in this Ramah. So that's why, just to make a quick mention. Okay, now for what I really wanted to get to today. Palata Shechazera, the idea of waiting 5 days before a woman counts Shul Nikiyim. Again, chronologically, we should have done this at the very beginning of the Siman. Because what happens? A woman becomes a Nida. So first thing you have to think about, before the Hefsek Tara, before the Shiva Nikiyim, first thing, before the Moktach, before the Shiva Nikiyim, first thing you have to think about is, when can she move on? Right? At what point do you say, okay, now she's ready to start doing something about the fact that she's a Nida, and for how long does she have to just be a Nida without doing anything? You know, the halacha equivalent of, you know, being in the freezer, right? You're just stuck. You can't do anything at that point in time. So that's the you know, chronologically, in terms of her cycle, that it would have been discussed first. But for some reason, it's all the way at the end of the Siman over here. The Gemara, in a couple of places, in Nida and Maseches Pesachim, Nida Daf Chaf Beis and Pesachim Daf Pei, talks about what happens if a man becomes a Balkari during his Shiv Nikiyim. Meaning, you have a man who's a Zav. So we're not talking about a Zava, but a Zav. And he becomes a Balkari during a Shiv Nikiyim. He's Motzi Shechva Zera. So we discussed this a little bit yesterday, I think. And the Gemara concludes that it's not Soser the previous days, but also that day doesn't count. It's not all of the Minyan Shiva, but it's not going to ruin the previous days. The Gemara Nida Daf Lamed Gimel talks about a woman who's paletus, and is she the same as a balkari, or do you view it as a tumah that comes from outside of her body, which would not affect Shiva Nikiyim? Meaning, imagine a woman in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim, she touches a sheretz. So what's going to happen? Nothing. That's a separate tumah. That's a tumah that's not yotzeh migufa. It's a tumah from outside, touching sheretz, going to a funeral. I don't know, whatever. She's those are external tumahs having nothing to do with her bodily functions, and as a result of that, it has no impact on the Shiva Nikiyim. So the Gemara raises the shaila: what about a paleta shechva zera? The shechva zera doesn't come from her. She had tashmish with her husband, and for a little while, we'll discuss how long after the tashmish, some zera is dripping out of her body. So to what extent do we assume that that's going to be soser, or that that's going to ruin her Shiva Nikiyim in some way or another? Or do we say, nah, it's like going into an Oval Ames? So the Gemara Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Boy Minei Rav Shmuel Bar Bista Mei Abai, it comes up a few times in Masechet Nida. Paleta Shechva Zera Roa Havya or Noga'as Havya? Is a Paleta Shechva Zera Roa or a Noga'as? Is it Re'iya? Something it's just a Migufa? Or do we say, no, it's like touching, Tumah, it's like touching a Sheretz, or something like that. So Nafkamina, Listar, one Nafkamina is it so said the Shiva Nikiyim? Ulatame b'mashahu, second Nafkamina is in Matame b'mashahu. Why? Because Tumas Maga is only if you have a shear of Tumah, whereas that which is Yotzal of Migufa, how much Dab Nida has to come from the Vais of Pnimi to the Vais of Chitza in order to make her a Nida? Tipas Dam, even the tiniest drop. So Tame b'mashahu is a Nafkamina, Ulatame b'fim k'b'chutz. And third Nafkamina is a Tame in the Beis Hastarin. Right, meaning Tumas Maga is only Bachutz. You don't have Tumas Maga Bifnim. Whereas Tumas Nida, for example, Tumas Ziva is in the Bayis Achitzon. But in the inside of her body, which is clearly in the Beis Hastarim, maybe even Balua, but certainly in the Beis Hastarim. So we paskin in the end that a Paletas is like a Balkari. So it's not, and like we said, it's therefore not so for the previous days, but it also doesn't count. That's the din of a paletas. So Gemara in Daf Samach Zayin says that even though a woman can be tovelas on day 7 of Shiva Nikiyim, we don't allow it because we're afraid that she's going to be roa dam, and it's going to be so for the entire Shiva Nikiyim. So Beis Yosef over here quotes a discussion in Rishonim. There are more Mahalchim Rishonim Beis Yosef doesn't quote. But they says about the discussion we showed him. Wait a second. Once we take into account what we just learned, that a paleta shechva zera can't count that day as part of the Shiva Nikiyim, so why is the concern only if we allow a zava gadola to go to the mikveh during the daytime of the seventh day? Why is that only a concern that she might see dam later that day? You know what she'll for sure see later that day or on that day? She'll be paleta shechva zera. It's not just a risk, maybe she'll see dam. I know for sure she's Paleta Shechvazara. She's having Tashmish with her husband. So she goes to the mikvah at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She has Tashmish with her husband at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Gemara says, oh, well, that's a problem, because maybe at 3 o'clock she's going to see Dam, and then it will turn out she'll be Tameh Lemafreya, and she violated Nisa Kares with her husband. What do you have to say that? Say better. That she, once she's with her husband, she's Paleta Shechvazara. Mela, this can't be day 7 of Shivanakiyim. That's the kasha that all the Rishonim ask. So the Rush, a long Rush in Perek Dalet and Siman Aleph, says that Rabbeinu Tam, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that the answer is as follows: that only Shechva Zera of a Zav is going to be Sosa. Ooh, how did we learn Paleta Shechva Zera? We learned it from the halacha of a man who's counting Shiva Nikiyim. Why in the world is a man counting Shiva Nikiyim? Because he's a Zav. So in that case, Shechva Zera of a Zav, we assume, is going to be Soser, not Soser, but not be Ola to Shiva Nikiyim. Maybe by a woman also. The Shechva Zera of a Tahar guy is not going to do anything to Shiva Nikiyim. Only the Shechva Zera of a Zav is going to do something to Shiva Nikiyim. So you don't have to worry about that on her day 7. I mean, if her husband happened to be a Zav, then maybe you'd have to worry about it. But her husband is not a Zav, so there's nothing to worry about. Wow. That makes the entire sugya not halacha l'maisa. Right? Because we don't have ziva nowadays. I mean, women have, but we don't have men's ziva nowadays. So it's totally irrelevant. The Ravid says that Paletz Shechva Zera only affects Tumentara. Has nothing to do with the Shulabayla. Also, I mean, the whole idea of Paletas, why are we not worried that she's going to be Paletas later that day? Because it wouldn't matter. If she's Paletas later that day, it's only going to affect Tumentara anyway. It's not going to affect her Heter Labayla, which is an unbelievably important rivet in terms of, like, the very first year we gave the whole year about the connection between Tumentara versus Issur V'Heter. Right? The rivet is clearly working with the assumption that Shiva Nikiyim could be different for Tumentara and for Baila. That she may have completed her Shiva Nikiyim Labaila and still have another day to go as far as Tumentara is concerned. Wow. That's the right. But also, according to the right, the whole thing won't apply nowadays. We don't have to worry about Paletas. The Mi'iri, Beis Yosef obviously does not quote the Mi'iri, because Beis Yosef didn't have the Mi'iri. It's always a discussion, you know, how do you look at a Rishon that wasn't really part of the Masorah for hundreds of years because they didn't have it? But there's no doubting the godliness of the Rishon and his stature as a Rishon. Like, do we now go back and rewrite halacha? That's Rav Avadya Yosef writes in the in his Haskama to Rav David Yosef's edition of the Chuvas Pe'er Ador of the Rambam, that if you got to look at the Sefer carefully, because the Beis Yosef didn't have it. And if Maran were to see something that the Rambam wrote in the Tshuva, he likely would have changed the Psak, and therefore we can change the Psak if we find stuff that so he works with the assumption. Then others, I think Chazanish, is of the opinion that it's all Hashkacha. And Hashkacha Hashem was that wasn't part of the Masorah, didn't make its way into the Halacha, and therefore it's irrelevant Halacha. Like, here's some mistakes, that's a little trickier, but maybe similar. They asked the Chazanish, I think, what's the story? You know, so they asked him about the manuscripts that they found in the Geniza. What should we do with them? He said, leave them there. Like, he thought it was out of the halacha, so it doesn't become part of the Masorah. Okay, you could imagine reasonable minds would disagree about something like this. But anyway, the Mi'iri, Maseches Nida, says that, no, the difference is we're concerned that she might still have Zera inside, but that's only if she feels something come out of her and sees that in reality she was Paletas. Meaning, yes, a Paletas Shechva Zera is Soser, but if just being suspicious that it happened, she wouldn't be Soser. So if she's not actually Paletas Shechva Zera, then it won't be Soser. And that, it's difficult, because how does that help? It doesn't really answer the kasha. Meaning, what was the kasha? That a woman who has Tashmish on day 7 after going to the mikvah on day 7 during the day, isn't she automatically a Paletas? So what, the Mir is going to say, oh, we're talking about a woman who didn't feel that she was Paletas? How's that possible? After Tashmish, it all stayed inside of her? Nothing came out? Very unlikely.
Yeah. It's also the whole svara for why we even have Paleta Shechva Zera, because maybe she won't realize.
that she won't realize that she was
Pleyadis. She's not able to be Nafkis.
No, so he's saying as far as the halacha of Pleyadis not being Ola, that's if she knows she's Pleyadis. But you don't have to be Choshesh for Pleyadis. That's she doesn't mean even. The Ramban in Perek Beis of Hilchos Nida Halachas Chesentas, he says that if she walks around, then the Zera will come out more quickly. The din of Pleyadis is only if she stays in bed. Again, this won't answer that kasha, won't answer our kasha, but it's a limitation that the Ramban has, an unbelievable limitation that the Ramban has on Pleyadis. That Pleyadis is only going to last for as long as we think it lasts if she doesn't move. But if she moves, then it will all come out right away and there's nothing to work with. So we're going to have to talk about what if she just washes herself out? So now does she not have any status of Pleyadis? So put that Ramban in our back pockets. But then there's the Rosh himself, and the Rosh is what we paskin like. And the Rosh writes that based on Mikzis Yom Kekula, you could be Mekel. Meaning, why are we not worried about the Pleyadis ruining day 7? Because she already had Mikzis Yom Kekula. That's not going to work for Dam on the 7th day, for some reason. Right? Dam makes the day Tameh. Shechvazera just prevents the day from being counted. But for counting, all you need is a mitzvah sayom to be, if the nihug of shivanikim, let's work with the nihug model, if the nihug of shivanikim is svira, so she did a svira. Pleyadis would take away your ability to do a svira, yeah, but she did the svira before the Pleyadis ever showed up. Dam doesn't just take away the nihug, Dam makes it that the whole day was tameh.
Why? Wouldn't you explain it? Otherwise, not a good answer.
What? Because Dam is so the whole Shiva Nikiyim. It's Metame.
Okay, but if you think that Zera would do the same, you're saying the Mitzvah of the Kula.
No, we're saying Pleyadis Shekva Zera is only Eino Ola, but it doesn't actually ruin the Shiva Nikiyim because it's not a Metame. It just takes away your ability to be Mona, to be Sofer.
But then still, at least that day should be gone.
Yeah, so the chilik he seems to be making is that there's a difference between that, which is truth is Pleyadis is also Metame. It's Metame here like a Balkari, but it's not, it's somewhere in between Roa and Nogea, right? So it's not the same kind of Metame. But that's what you have to say, that it's not a regular Metame of a Tuma Yotzola Megufa, that Tuma came out of her body, and Memela, where she went to the mikvah, the first part of the day was already declared Tahar. And that's what we're summing on. That's what we paskin. Right? That's what you have to distinguish, that it's not a metame. That's what Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud. Hashem nekim shikashi ritzufim shaltir dam bahem, shimras adam afilu besof yom hashvi'i, sasra kala yamim, shrikh la hafzik betar v'lachsul imlo shivin nekim. Right. Yeah, no, but then it's the next one. Hapalata shechvazera yiralf pimei svirasa imu toch sheish. Oh, well, actually, we'll get there in a second. Let's hold off on the Shulchan Aruch. So, yeah.
According to the Rush, the existing Kula will allow us to count part of the day towards the Shivan Kim. Why would a woman need to wait until day 5 to start counting?
So let's get to that now. Let's get to how long Pleyadis Shechvazera is going to be a concern. The short answer to that is Mikzis Yom Kekula applies at the end, not at the beginning. The Rishonim discuss exactly how long. There's a discussion in Shabbos Daf Pei Vav. How long? Why Daf Pei Vav in Shabbos? What are the sugyas there? Daf Pei Vav in Shabbos. Kabbalah Sator, right? And that's where we learn. That's where we learn also that Balkari is not supposed to learn Torah from the fact that you have to be Porish Menosh Hoseim in advance of Kabbalah Satorah. So we have Balkari Sugyas by Kabbalah Satorah. We talk about Kabbalah Satorah. So Shabbos Daf Pei Vav talks about how long Zera is viable, and it creates a status of Pleyadis. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Pleyadis Shechvazera B'yom HaShlishi Tahora, Divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Pa'am Shein Dalid Onos, Pa'am Shein Hey Onos, Pa'am Shein Vav Onos. Rabbi Kiva Amar Liolam Hey, it's always 5 Onos. V'miyatsa Miktsas Onos Rishona, Marla Miktsas Onos Shishis. That it's 5 full Onos, even if it straddles, it starts in the middle of an Ono. Amr Chiv Rabbi Amr Yochanan Zutiv Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva Chamam Sheish Onos Shleimos Beina. That Chum disagreed with both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, and they say that Palitzik Maseres for six Onos Shleimos, six Onos Shleimos, what we would call 72 hours. So she's considered to be Palitzik Maseres. This Zera is considered to be viable, and what's his name? Doctor came this week. Dr. Ryback, I think, said that medically that's pretty much right on the mark, right? At 72 hours, the Zera is considered viable, and that's what we assume. If you look in the Rambam, Sharavos Hatuma Parakei Alochi Ralef, it doesn't sound that way. The Rambam writes, Ha'isha Shapolta Shekva Zera, Impolta Osa Bitoch Shalosh Onos, Shalosh Onos, Harei Tmei Kuro Keri, she's like a Balkeri, Lefichach Soseris Yom Echel, and that's why it ruins that one day. Just like an ish shara keri, and it's mitame b'kolshu. Why does he mention mitame b'kolshu? Because that's one of the nafkaminas. That if it's a roa, it's mitame b'kolshu. You don't need a shear. Av plishle yos luchutz el nekra v'yigil. And even if it wasn't yos luchutz, that's the other nafkamina. The Rambam summarizing all of the nafkaminas. So just Biragra points out that the girsa of the Gaonim was shalosh onos, and Rabbi Nachmanel had that girsa also. So even though our Gemara says that chachamim omrim sheish onos shleimos b'inan. Gaonim and Rabbeinu Chananel had Chachamim Shalosh Onos Shleimos Beinan. Even so, the Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear, right? Sheish Onos L'Shimusha, right? That's the Shulchan Aruch. Paskins, six Onos. In fact, many of the Rishonim explain that even if you have the Girsa of Shalosh Onos, like Rabbeinu Chananel, like the Gaonim had, Shalosh Onos means Onos of 24 hours. And you just change the rules of what's called an ona, and then it conforms beautifully to exactly what we want it to be. So it's shalosh onos of 24 hours. Good. So where does that leave us? A woman gets her period Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock, right? She goes to the bathroom and sees that she just got her period. So she's going to be paletus, and she had tashmish with her husband at noon, let's say. So a woman had tashmish with her husband at noon on Sunday, 1 o'clock she gets her period. So now, how long is she going to be paletus for? So until Wednesday at noon, she's going to be paletus, which means she can't start counting her Shemanikim Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, because those days she's paletus. And the days that you're paletus, you're not allowed to... 72 hours is supposed to be 3 days. Yeah, 72 hours crosses over 4 days, in this case, when she started being paletus in the middle of the day. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, she's not going to be able to count her Shiva Nikim. So that makes sense, and that works perfectly. However, we go beyond that. So the Ramah in Sifir Aleph, based on Shumas Sadashen, Sim Reish Mamhei, says a fifth day. You have to add an extra day. Why? Because maybe she'll get a period Ben Ashmashas. And she's going to think, she's going to work with the assumption that Ben Ashmashas was really the previous day, and therefore, counting 72 hours to Ben Ashmashos 3 days later, she'll think the following day is okay. I mean, let's say it was Sunday at Ben Ashmashos, Sunday afternoon Ben Ashmashos. So she got her period at 5:30 Sunday afternoon, so she thinks, okay, 5:30 Wednesday afternoon, but then Thursday is already day one of Shiva Nikim, that she could already get, but she didn't realize that 5:30 on Sunday afternoon or / Wednesday afternoon is already really the next day. So she can't count the Shiva Nikim until a day later. So because of that, the Ramas, the Truma Sedeshan says, we add an extra day. So what happens if a woman actually gets her period during Ben Ashmashos? Does an Ashkenazi woman have to add an extra day? What are you telling
her? Are we assuming that we're necessarily going by only the beginning of the bleeding in terms of counting?
You know, I keep saying bleeding. Let's say she had Tashmish Amita. She had Tashmish Amita, because we're talking about Paletus Shekh Vazara. I'm thinking a step ahead, obviously. You know. But she had Tashmish Amita, Ben Ashmashos, right? So she's going to think she's Paletus, right, 72 hours later. If she has Tashmish Amita, we made the Gezeira that just in case she has Tashmish Amita, makes them on Sunday, Ben Ashmashos, that she's going to be paletus not only Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, not only Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but Wednesday also, right? So, wait, how does that work? No, Thursday also. Not only Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but Thursday also, because it's going to go into Wednesday night. Wednesday night's already going to be Thursday. So it's going to be 5 days, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? That's why he made the gezeirah, to make it, to always make it 5 days, even if she has tashma shemitah at 12 o'clock noon on Sunday, just in case, just up to a case where she would have it Sunday night, and she would think it counts as Sunday, but really it only counts as Monday. So what if she actually had tashma shemitah? Would you have to add another day on top of that? It would be ridiculous, right? I mean, the whole thing was a gezeirah atu. So if she has tashma mita during Ben Hashmashos, so the whole concern was that she might get confused. So of course you could be makel in that case, right? I did see achronim that were machmir. I couldn't believe it. I thought that was like, hey, I don't understand the bechla. It is a little plug. It's 5 days. She doesn't. It still might be Ben Hashmashos. I mean, it still might be the previous day. Right.
So you also say she doesn't have to add.
No, then you make
Xera. So if it's during Minishmashas, perhaps it's already night, perhaps it's already nighttime. Where do you put the cutoff?
Wherever you put the cutoff of Benishmashas. Whatever you paskin about Ben Hashmashos, that's a very fascinating sugya, what you paskin about Ben Hashmashos. But whatever you paskin about, and we paskin Ben Hashmashos, we talk all the time, right? When's Amila Docha Shabbos? You know, we have to paskin these things. So I don't know, I thought that was a little bit funny. Anyway, the Rav Moshe in Yoredei Chilak Dalet Simin Yud Zayin Oschaf, Rav Moshe writes, Ros Adam Achar Ashkia, Mosai Tuchel Hafzik Petara. Oh, right? Talks about this case. Vishash Ros Adam Takeof Achar Ashkia, Diyom Rishon Shu Saveg Yom, Af the Shitas Hagra, even according to the Grah, it's still Saveg Yom, Yichol Lahaschi Limnos, as I in the key, Yom Shishi, Kimoyim Hoysaro, Biyom Aleph. Right? He says then she can start counting her Shivanikiyim on Friday, meaning Thursday is her day of Hafzik Tara. And then that's where he discusses his tes minut achar shkia, right? That it's vada yom. You know, they added in Rav Moshe's 50 minutes for Shitas Rabbi Natam in New York. So 9 3/8 minutes is the shir of Ben Hashmashos Shitas Agonim. Okay. Aval achar zeh yesh lachem l'haskulim b'shrei nikim yom ha-shabbos. Fine. The Ramad then says another extension. He says that some extend this not to 5 days, but to 7 days. Ooh, bigger chumrah. But Rama says, "Ein tam b'davar, v'machmir yachmir, v'amekel niska lahaktim atzma l'mitzvah." So someone is machmir, okay, he's being machmir, so he's accomplishing that. But if you're mekel, then you're actually doing the right thing. Because there's a mitzvah sonna, there's a mitzvah puravu, so you don't just add in extra days for no reason. So where in the world does that come from? So the Taz and Sifkan Vav quotes from the Bach where it comes from. So he says that they used to be Tovelas Lenidado Raisa, and then Tovelas again after Shivanakiyim, just in case she's Zav Gadola. So since she's only going to be Tovelas Lenidado Raisa after 7 days from when she started bleeding, so it's just easier to track, right? That she'll be Tovelas after 7 days, and then again after another 7 days of Shivanakiyim. That's what it's based on. So the Taz quotes that. But he then says, but I still don't recommend it. I still think it's a terrible idea. He says, "V'yafa kasev Rama shemaktim asma maktim mitzvah ve'ein b'tamim ke'ela kedei laharchik tvilas mitzvah." These are not good enough reasons for us to delay a tvilas mitzvah. This practice is recorded in the Rambam as well. The Rambam in Hilchos Nida Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud Dalet ze shetimtza b'miktzas mekomos. Shanida Yosheves Shiva Yamim Benidasa. And it doesn't matter even if she only saw Yom Echad. Va'achra Shiva Teshuv Shiva Zimenikim. Ein ze minagel atos imi mishor lehem kach. Vein roi lifnos ledover ze klal. Elim rasi Yom Echad soferes achrav Shiva v'tovelas b'lel shmini shu lel sheni shalachim menidasa. Umutaris lebaila. It's stunning what he does say. So what does he say? Rather, if she bleeds for 1 day, good, so that day she's tummy, next day is the first day of Shivanakim. So he doesn't just do away with the 7 days, he does away with the 5 days and 3 days, and he's obviously assuming she didn't have Tashmish, right? We didn't get to that Chumrah the Ramah yet. Okay, so the 7 days we can forget about. Then the Ramah further extends the Chumrah to a couple that didn't actually have relations. meaning the whole Indian is an Indian of Paleta Shechva Zara, so it's only if she's actually Paleta. But if she, let's say the couple has an attachment in a week, and then she gets her period. So you're going to be choshish for Paletas? There's no Paletas happening. So the Ramah is machmir in that. The low plug, even if the couple weren't together, we start to count from the last moment that she was muteras. What do you do if a Sephardi woman marries an Ashkenazi man? Right, there's not a Sephardi chumra, there's an Ashkenazi chumra. Sephardim, as soon as she finishes bleeding, as long as it's more than 72 hours after the last time they had tashmish, l'chora should be fine. And certainly the fifth day, Sephardi woman doesn't have to worry about b'chlal. So let's say a woman has a short period, Sephardi woman, Ashkenazi man, or Sephardi man, Ashkenazi woman. So normally we always say, you follow the husband's minhagim. And l'chora, that's what you should do over here as well. Although, you could hear such an argument that dafka, when it comes to women's issues, that women follow their own minhagim from their mothers. I have to tell you, that's what Rav Pam's grandson told me, that he asked his grandfather how many candles his wife should light on a Friday night, and his grandfather said two. So he said, but Bobby lights a million and however many kids or whatever. So that's what her mother did. She didn't do what her mother did and not do what you did. It's Hadlakas Neros. So she does what her mother did because Hadlakas Neros. But if you're asking me what you think is the right thing to do, it's Shomer V'Zach. So there is an argument to be made, but Pashtus is not that way. Pashtus is you go whatever the husband's Sephardi, you follow the Sephardi practices, especially there's no gaya to him very much. Obviously. Now there are a whole bunch of potential exceptions to these chumras. Right, you got to read that Ramah carefully. He mentions all of this. It's all b'toras chumra, right? Yesha kasvu she'achshav in lechalit bin shimsha b'ayla v'lo shimsha v'kalisha sharoa afilu kesem tzrich lamtin chamisha yomim im yom sharoa sabo So we do practically. A woman gets her not has tashmish on Sunday at noon. Now we change it, right? A woman gets her period on Sunday at noon. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Regardless of when the last time she had tashmish, she's not yet ready to start counting her shivanakim. Thursday afternoon, she could do her hafsik tara. Friday is day one of her shivanakim.
How do we time, like we've been talking about 72 hours, like we do you? How do we time that 72 hours?
We don't need to time it. Because we have 5 days.
Saying if we were if we're going by, or it just doesn't matter anymore, just because we always go back from 5 days.
Yeah, I mean we're not even looking at when they attach mish. It's not it doesn't even interest us when they attach mish. Now, the exception to this, if you look in the Shach and Sifkat Mechaveis, Tzrich Lamtin Chamishi Yamim Haynu Mitchilasa, Umishum Time Edus Shechvazera because of Poled Shechvazera. Avlim toch yimei sviraso acher chamishiyam niskalkalo v'chosu v'raso damo kesem. Let's say she's in the middle of her shivanakim and she sees dam again. You don't have to start the 5 days again because she hasn't even been muteres lebaila in more than 5 days. Posekas bosiyam b'tarim mona l'machras. Very common question. A lot of people get confused by this. Now I'm going to have to start the 5 and the 7 again. No. You only have to start the 7 again, not the 5 again. So if they were halachically forbidden from Tashmish, that's the famous tshuva in the Har Tzvi. There's a beautiful tshuva from Tzvi Pesach Frank. I always teach this to Chassanim, even though I don't do anything too deep with Chassanim, but I think it's like such a good illustration of this halacha. But Tzvi Pesach Frank was asked in Tshuva's Har Tzvi about a woman who had a cycle that was 14 days. She would bleed every 14 days. And when she bled every 14 days, it was for about 6 hours, the whole period, and then it was over. So if you're going to require her to have 5 days plus 7 days, she'll be with her husband two nights each cycle, and she'll never get pregnant, right? Because as Dr. Rybak spoke about with you last week, right? If you have an abbreviated cycle, orthodox infertility is a major problem. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank came up with an ingenious solution. Nowadays we solve this medically. But this was, Sibius Frank died, I think, in, 1962 or something. Rabbi Sachs said that, I think he was 2 or 3 years old when his great-grandfather died, when Sibius Frank died. So he died in the 60s. I think that's what Rabbi Sachs was born. Rabbi Sachs said he never met him. He had such ashpa in his life because he grew up in the stories of Rabbi Pesach Frank. He grew up hearing about Rabbi Pesach Frank in his year of Avelus, finished Maseches Beitza every single day in his year of Avelus. So Rabbi Sachs was sitting shiva for his mother. He finished Beitza, I think, every week. He finished Maseches Beitza, or maybe more than that. You know, but it's because he always had that image in his mind of like Rav C. Pesach Frank and all the stories. He said that Rav C. Pesach Frank lived in a little tiny house and he kept a shtender by the door, right by the door, because he'd be learning until he got to the door. So he'd put the sefer down right before he left, and then when he came back in, he could pick it right back up and, you know, continue learning. Like every second of learning was like that. These are the kind of stories that he grew up on. So anyway, Rav C. Pesach Frank came up with an ingenious solution. He says, just tell her not to go to the mikvah one cycle. Because if she doesn't go to the mikvah, what's going to happen? 14 days, she'll stay tameh. 14 days later, she'll get her period again for 6 hours, right? But she had never become tar. So if she had never become tar, you only have to wait shiv nikiyim. You don't need to start the 5 days again. And if she only waits shiv nikiyim and then goes to the mikvah, so it'll be 8 days into a 14-day cycle. It'll be perfect in terms of catching her her fertility. So that was plus you'll get more days, meaning if she doesn't go to the if she only goes to the mikvah every other time, so then you'll get a whole week together as opposed to 2 days here and 2 days there.
But forced in a footnote, had a cool ha'ara, he said you could have the woman say to her husband a couple days before her period on tummy, and then
that lying to the husband?
Lying to the husband, meaning yeah.
I don't know if I buy that. Does he quote that from someone?
Yeah, he quotes people.
Really?
Is there a surah because of her own?
Oh, because unless she might be able to give an amasla. You have to really learn through a masla, because if you can give an amasla afterwards and say, I was only doing it because I was planning for when we go to the mikvah next time, but now I realize our vacation is cancelled anyway, and now I'd rather. And that's a good amasla.
Right.
So I don't know about that.
Until she gives the amasla, she can give.
But the fact that she can means she's not really a surah. So I don't know about that.
She fooled her that she's actually Tanea. And she doesn't have
enough masla. Okay, I don't know how he's going to pull that off. He could plant some evidence in the toilet or something. I don't know. Okay, that's we should not be doing things like that, just to be clear. Okay. Got to remember to say that in chassam classes now. Do not fool your wife into thinking she's Tamei.
Why didn't she just be Notre Hanami Baila?
We don't play around with Nadarim. It's not a good idea to play around with Nadarim. She'll be an Isha Nadronis, and then she'll be Yotzi Balok Suva. So you don't want that either. So I don't think it's a great idea to do that. Lavon Nadarim Banu Mesim K'shem K'tanim. I mean, that would be very, very bad. So not a great Eitza. Okay, we didn't get... there are like, you know, 8 other exceptions. And then some more things, some other cases I wanted to talk about. So Be'ez Hashem on Sunday, we'll get to that. And maybe also start Kuf Tzadi Zayin on Sunday. That's the plan. Okay.